Off the Ball.
There is brighter days. You might not think it. You might just think that you're always in that dark place, but there is brighter days. You need to go and talk to someone, like, and have that click and bond with someone that you can actually open up to someone, not someone that you will hide kind of a few things. You'll keep some of them in, you won't tell them everything.
And our view is very simple. You know, everyone should be able to come down to Bray Wanderers and watch a game, irrespective of colour, race, disability, whatever it may be. And why not?
Access to sport and facilities isn't great. So if we can do that and we can get people into the ground with additional needs where there is no access, there is no barriers, that's what I want my role to be about.
That style of play is what's won us the First Division. We were the only team that really played football in the First Division and won us the league title. It's what we do, and we do it pretty, pretty well at times.
Harry, a draw down here. Are you happy with the result?
No, not one bit, no.
Well, I actually would have seen that different.
What would you like to see more of from your team?
Goals and wins.
The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.
Yes, hello there. You are very welcome to the latest episode of the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast with myself, Jamie Moore. Thank you very much for joining us, as thousands of you do each and every week. Coming up over the next hour or so, our Premier Division focus. We're going to speak to St. Pat's striker Mikey Drennan, the current joint top scorer in the Premier League with 3 goals in the 4 games so far. He'll speak to Darren Cleary in just a second. But we'll also hear from his manager Harry Kenny and the UCD boss Collie O'Neill after their draw at the UCD Bowl last Friday. Our First Division focus, well, we'll hear from the Shelburne manager Ian Morris, who wasn't too happy with his team's performance in their defeat to Cabinteely last Friday by 3-2. The man that helped Cabinteely do that is their boss Pat Devlin. They'll both chat to Darren. And then our First Division chat as well, we'll focus on Bray more so, and the Bray chairman and owner Niall O'Driscoll about where the club is 8 months into his tenure, and it's fair to say it's in a much better place than it was when he took over as well. And we'll also hear from and a man who Niall appointed this week, Pádraic Moran, as the club's disability access officer, and he'll give us a fascinating insight into what he's going to be doing with the club over the next little while. So that's all on the way over the next hour, and Darren is beside me in studio. How are you, sir?
Hello, Jamie.
Darren, we are dressed quite similarly today, and thankfully the denim number that you're wearing I nearly wore this morning, but it proves that we both have very good style, that we were nearly wearing the same clothes for the podcast.
I think it proves that we both shop in the discount section of River Island more than anything else.
Yeah, River Island, yeah. I went for a blue double denim and you were going for a black and grey denim with, what colour are the jeans? Black, yeah. Very nice.
It looks like I've got some rubbish on them here.
Is this the podcast attire from now on, double denim?
No, double denim is always a mistake, to be honest.
Well,
it's the same colour denim. You can't wear two blues.
Well, I have. And I've got complimented already.
Probably because you look like Garth Brooks.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, I'm
playing. That's not a compliment.
Now, we're going to get on to the serious stuff, Darren, and we will quickly run through the Premier League results from Friday and one game on Monday, because...
Did you just call it the Premier League results?
Premier Division.
You said Premier League results.
Same thing, no?
No.
Okay, well, there was...
Premier League is an English league that's not as good as our league.
Yeah, the greatest league in the world. So there was 3-0 draws on Friday, and I saw Soccer Republic tweeted, or someone from Soccer Republic tweeted, saying, give us more goals next week, lads, because they are now tweeting the goals as they almost go in, so well done to the lads. Cork and Derry 0-0, Waterford and Bowes 0-0, Bowes 4 clean sheets in a row, Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk 0-0 in front of a massive crowd in Talla. The only winners of the weekend were Sligo Rovers, who beat Finn Harps 2-1, and Pats and UCD drew 1-1 at the UCD Bowl. We are going to hear in just a moment from Collie O'Neill and Harry Kenny. And the one game on Monday last night, because we're recording on Tuesday, Rovers beat Finn Harps by 3-0, 3 first half goals. And Darren, the Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan was sent off and wasn't happy afterwards with the fixture scheduling, because they've been in Dublin the last 2 Mondays, against St. Pat's last Monday, against Rovers last Monday. They didn't play well and he was sent off after the fourth official and the referee decided he had said something he shouldn't have.
Yeah, and the suggestion was from Dave Donnelly, who would report on the League of Ireland very often, writes for The Sun as well. He said it was something got to do with referring to the referee by his name, Oscuelga, which would seem like a very strange and pedantic thing to dismiss a guy for. I don't want to come on to the podcast and give out about referees. I think it's a bit self-serving. They do what they do. It's a hard job. It's not made any easier, though, by some of the egos that referees have in the League of Ireland. There are one or two referees cross-channel in England that would be known for liking themselves and fancying themselves and trying to make it about them. And I think we've one or two here. I think the problem is that they treat managers and players like children. They don't engage with them properly. And I've heard, and seen referees just be really, really pig ignorant to players and managers. And there's no need for it. There's no need for it in 2019 to treat adults like children. And I think, I'm not exactly sure what Ollie Horgan said, but if you take on face value that his crime as such was referring to the referee by his surname in Irish, I'm not sure how the referee would take that as in a way that he's being disrespected or his authority being questioned, that you send the manager to a stands. It seems like a power trip. It seems like him deciding, I have the power to send you to the stands, so I'm going to do it just to show that I have that power.
Well, I was at the match and Ollie Horgan shouted on to the referee, Ben Connolly. You can't say that after Ben Connolly and John Kavanagh from Finn Harps had an exchange. And next of all, the fourth official, Tom Connolly, being as busy as fourth officials are, calls over the ref, points to the stand.
When you say busy, what do you mean busy?
They just annoy managers. They just stand there and put up the fourth official's board. And like, okay, the derby last week when Aaron Green was sent off, the fourth official on that occasion,
wasn't a red card.
But he's in front of it and he has helped the referee with an actual decision. That's fine. But when a manager...
The wrong decision.
But like, I'm still not quite sure. But anyway...
I mean, from one angle in real time, it looks sloppy, but a yellow would suffice.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with that. But the point I'm making is, like last night, Glenn Cronin, who's the Shamrock Rovers assistant, got up a couple of times and walked out to Stephen Bradley at the side of the pitch to say something to him, then walked back to the bench. And the same with William O'Connor, the Finn Harps assistant, because the actual Finn Harps assistant, Paul Hegarty, is also suspended because he was sent off recently as well or after a match. And the fourth official straight away runs over and tells the coach to sit down when all he's doing is communicating with the manager. He's not standing up for the whole game shouting. And if you watch the English Championship, the assistant manager is also allowed to stand. And fourth officials, just in my opinion, want to get involved in discussions with managers when really they should just stand there, do their job. And obviously if this is going on for 5 minutes, but it's not. And they need to just stop sending off managers, grow a thick skin and get on with it. Because it's ruining clubs. Like now next week, Finn Harps are not going to have their manager or their assistant manager because they're both banned.
I do think, and I do agree with you wholeheartedly, I really think there is... Not every referee, there are some really decent referees who try their best to get decisions right and are not disrespectful towards players, but there are some absolute egomaniacs who will try and make it about them and they permeate the league. They're not only egomaniacal, but they're incompetent. And I'm not saying the referee last night is either. I'm just saying there is, have been examples of referees and linesmen and fourth officials in League of Ireland over the last few years who are busy and always have something to do or something to say that really isn't their job. Stick to your job. Focus on doing your job properly. Don't get sidetracked on other stuff that's not helpful.
Yes.
Like, did you obviously heard Ollie Horgan say you can't say
yes.
that to the man. Did he use any swear words? Did he
nope.
use any profanities?
Nope.
Was he,
nope. You can't say that. You can say that is what he said.
And then the referee comes over.
There was a break in play then because someone was injured. There was a substitution or there was something going on. There was a free kick and the fourth official calls over the ref and the ref comes off the pitch and just points to the stand and off all he goes.
Crazy.
Crazy indeed. Now let's get to some of our interviews in this week's League of Ireland podcast. It finished UCD 1, St Pat's 1 at the UCD Bowl on Friday. And afterwards, off the balls, end the call, spoke to both managers, Harry Kenny in a second. But firstly, the UCD boss, Colly O'Neill.
Colly, first points on the board, but you must be most impressed with that second half performance.
Yeah, happy with the second half. Not happy at all with the first half. But overall, happy to have our first points on the board.
It was a wet and slippery night down here in Belfield, and that kind of helped at the beginning of the game when the surface was aided your passing around. But in the second half, it might have hindered it a little bit. Do you think the conditions played a part in the game? At all?
Yeah, you've always got to play what's in front of you. So it doesn't matter what analysis you do on teams, whether you play 3 at the back, 4 at the back, 5 at the back. Whatever turns up is what you have to play against, and that comes into consideration as well, whether strong winds, lashing rain, dry, sunny. So the kind of how we played the game that we want to play can't always happen in the conditions. So because it was wet and slippy, it was more about trying to roll the sleeves up and do a little bit of the dirty work.
And St. Pat's actually took the lead in the first half, and you mentioned that you weren't happy with the performance in the first half. What was it in particular that you weren't seeing from your team?
We were just second best all over the park. All second balls, any kind of bouncing ball, we were just second to it. Movement on the ball wasn't quick enough, sharp enough. We just lacked a little bit of hunger in the first half.
So what did you say to your players at halftime then that made them...
We just had a quiet little chat and we played a little bit better in the second half.
Very you play a lot of ball out from the back and you aren't afraid to spread it around, even when St. Pat's got a few chances from you doing that. Is that something that we can expect from UCD going forward?
That's our style of play. That's how we play. There is adjustments to be made to it because I think it's overplaying at times. We've done it again tonight, of a little bit of overplaying. And as we go on through this Premier Division and we learn with the teams that we play against, we'll just adjust things as we go.
Is that a sustainable style of play in this position that you're going to be? Because you're likely going to be in or around the teams down the bottom, or at least you're expected to be anyway. Do you think that's a sustainable style of play, or will you just have to sort of close it up a little bit, tighten up against teams that you're needing to get results from?
That style of play is what's won us the First Division. We were the only team that really played football in the First Division and won us the league title. It's what we do, and we do it pretty, pretty well at times. There is adjustments to be made to it because you're dealing against better players, so half a mistake you can be punished in this league. So there is adjustments to be made to it, but overall, we're still going to kind of stick with a possession-based team.
And you have a tough clash going up against Sligo Rovers now again. How difficult is it going up to the northwest? Is that one of the harder places to go to?
Not really. No, it doesn't make any difference to us. We treat each game the same. It doesn't matter where we go. It's still just a pitch. It's still just grass on it. There's still a referee. We treat every game the same.
Harry, a draw down here. Are you happy with the result?
No, not one bit. No. Started the season quite well with a good win against Cork and picked up on that in Sligo and got the 3 points there. Finn Harps defended really well in our third game, and I was expecting us to be better than we were tonight. In saying that, we started off very well. First half, lots of good passages of play, created a couple of chances, got the goal, and we should have just carried that on into the second half, but a bit disappointed that we didn't.
And a couple of your new players came in today, Chris Forrester in particular. He was really impressive. How impressed have you been by him and by the other signings this year?
Like, Chris has taken a little while to get going, in a sense that he's just building up his fitness, and you're right, he was much better tonight than he was in the previous games. That's because he was behind the lads on fitness, so he worked very hard to get his fitness levels right up, and that obviously helped his performance.
And you've come in 4 wins, still haven't lost yet, and you're sort of second at the table now. Is that somewhere where you expect to be at the end of the season?
Well, it's pretty early to say that, and there's lots of good teams in this league, but if we play the way we did the second half tonight, we'd be nowhere near where we are currently. So we need to carry our first half performance and make sure we play like that for the rest of the season. We have the ability, we have the players, but it's just doing it over the 90 minutes.
What was it in particular that disappointed you in the second half as opposed to the first half?
Well, we took a few risks in the first half, and we knocked the ball around and played much quicker in the first half. In saying that, UCD came out a little bit better in the second half and upped the tempo of their own game. So, but football is like that. We have the ball, we're supposed to create chances and score goals, and then when they have the ball, you're supposed to defend. But certainly when their centre-back was able to run from his own half into our back line and pull it across, that's not good defending.
So is a bit of solidity probably what you just need to look at going forward then?
Yeah, just a bit more mobility, a bit more creative thinking, and we create more chances.
And Shamrock Rovers are up next. That's obviously a clash that's between two sides that are doing pretty well at the start of the season. Is this the most open league there has been in a few years?
Yeah, it seems to be that way. Granted, it's only 4 games in, but it's not the usual suspects up around the top of the table at this moment in time. I do expect those to be up there challenging at the end of the season, but it makes for an interesting league this year, especially with Ball sitting on top and ourselves second, so it's good to see different teams up around the top.
And going into that game, what would be the main thing you'd be looking to improve on from that game right there?
A bit more creativity up around the last third of the pitch, and a bit more mobility. So we just need to be better, and we need to be better over the 90 minutes rather than just playing one half tonight.
Yeah, St. Pat's manager Harry Kenny, and before him the UCD manager Colly O'Neill. We're going to stay now on the team of St. Pat's. They're third in the table, 8 points from their opening 4 games, and Darren has been speaking to their star striker, Mikey Drennan, who is a current League of Ireland joint top scorer.
Mikey, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm good, yeah, and yourself?
Not too bad at all now. It seems like it's been a pretty solid start to the season.
Yeah, I suppose it's been all right. It hasn't probably been the best of starts, but look, kind of we've one positive is that we're still unbeaten and we still haven't played to what we know we can play, and we have high standards, and I don't think we've hit nowhere near what we're capable of. So look, it's still positive, but look, there's still plenty more to play for.
I mean, you've kind of talked a little bit about why Pats, but just for anyone listening to this for the first time, what was it that made you attracted to what Harry's trying to do there at Richmond Park?
I think it was just the style of football, and he's trying to bring back the success to Pats, and I want to be a part of that. And look, I know he's a great manager and told me of all his great plans and where he wants to be and what wants Europe and all that stuff. And that's what I want. I want to be challenging for titles and challenging for Europe and cup runs and all that stuff. And I don't want to be just sitting around mid-table or relegation or whatever like that is, but I want to be pushing, because that's where I've always kind of, since I've been a young lad, I've always been in the kind of best teams and always playing for titles and that. So that's what we're hoping for this season.
3 goals, 4 games, Cork, Sligo, UCD. You've really hit the ground running. How pleased are you with your own personal form so early in the season?
I suppose I'm all right. I'm not too happy. Look, it's still good to get goals, but I think my performances, they've been okay. They need to be better. I probably needed probably a bit more service, but that'll come. We're a new team, we'll gel together, and it will come. Like, but look, there's still much more in me, and I just hope I can keep scoring and hopefully just help the team and work hard.
Talk us through the goals. A little bit of variety. It was a penalty against Cork, obviously a very big game, and then the goals against Sligo and UCD too.
Yeah, well, I suppose the penalty against Cork was, look, the minute the penalty was given, I knew I was taking it, and I was confident that I was going to hit the back of the net, and luckily enough I did. And then I suppose against Sligo, then it was the last minute, and that was a sweet one, like getting stick all game from stuff that probably most of it isn't, yeah, probably 50% of it isn't true of what people are saying. But and then the goal against UCD, I suppose it was good to go in the lead, but I think we should have probably had the game probably well won before they got the equaliser, which was disappointing on our behalf.
Yeah, I was looking through some of the Sligo stuff, and I mean, there is a little bit of goading, there is a little bit of slagging, particularly when someone scores a late goal, fans will never be too pleased. But a lot of the Sligo stuff that you probably got thrown at you, it seemed a bit mean-spirited, is probably the right word. Did you feel that it was a little bit mean, just even by standards, that you would usually get the kind of stick you would take from opposition fans?
No, look, I expected it, because especially what people are kind of coming out saying in the media. But look, the FAI, they sanctioned the move. There was nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong on my behalf. And look, I'm a Pats player now, and I'm just kind of moving on from it now. But it's look, I don't really take much notice of it. Like, it's like some of the stuff is kind of like, it that's a bit fair now. It's a bit personal. But look, you just take it on the chin. You move on. Like, you don't take notice of any of that stuff anymore. Like, I'm kind of more older, mature to put that to the side and not let that bother me.
You mentioned that some of the stuff has been played out in the media. I mean, Liam Buckley was on Off the Ball and he spoke about his disappointment that you left Sligo. He felt that you were signed up for next season at Sligo. The opportunity to you to respond, if you'd like, what actually happened with Sligo? Why are they saying you were signed up for next season?
Well, they were just saying because there was an option in my contract. But look, because we went there on both parties. Like, it was good for both of us. Like, I went on there on... it wasn't good money. I went on there on peanuts, and then it worked out good for Sligo. I just wanted to get back in the league, see was I happy, and I was. And look, and then all that kind of stuff, and obviously I wanted a new and improved deal, and that was it. And then, like, there was other options there, like, that I knew I could kind of look at. And look, getting closer to home was a big factor for me. Like, and no matter where it was, I did want to be closer to home, because last year I only got home once, like, and the family and friends and all that stuff, that I can just go down the road. But okay, I think it is what it is, and I think it's just time to move on now and just look forward to Pats.
I know, I appreciate you obviously have to focus on what you're doing at the moment, but when Liam Buckley says you got out on a technicality, is that a fair reflection of what actually happened with your own situation when you left Sligo?
No, it's not, no. It's not. I think I'll just leave it at that, like, but it's not, like, it's just them, they've they didn't cover their own ground, and I think that's just it now.
So you weren't signed up? It's not like you broke a deal? It's not like you were signed up
no,
for 2 years?
No, 100% no. I wasn't signed up or anything like that. There was nothing. That's the thing, that people are just kind of blown out of proportion, really. So.
Well, look, I appreciate you taking the time to set that straight. Matters on the pitch, I mean, it's a really interesting run. It's shaping up to be probably the most open we've seen in years. Teams that have started strong in recent years, your Dundalks, your Corks, haven't really. Does it feel more open as a player for you, considering the last time you would have played in the league? Does it feel like the traditional power may be shifting?
Probably, look, it's still early days. It's only 4 games in. Look, you know your Dundalk will come strong again. And look, I think it's just up to the other teams around them is for them to get up to that level, and start winning games and start being up there, rather than just having the Dundalks and Corks like they were the last few years. I think, like ourselves, Shamrock Rovers, even you have Waterford, probably Bowes as well, Derry, all them, I think it's up for us to make that step up. And look, it is good that it's more open. This year, you know, it's kind of, after the first game, it's kind of walking away with it. It's more open, and it makes it interesting from a fan's point of view as well. And I'm just hoping that we're going to be up there and challenging for the title after July.
You mentioned there getting home, Mikey, and trying to be happy playing your football. Do you get the chance to do that more now, or are you having more time to yourself, or are you happy playing your football now?
Look, I'm only an hour down the road, so I can go home every weekend. I can go home during the week. But look, I think it's just time to enjoy football, and I think that's the thing that probably I didn't do for the last few years until I took my break, and I'm enjoying it now, and I just hope that continues, and I hope that'll show my performances.
I mean, you mentioned you've been really brave in the way you've spoken about what you've overcome, not just as a footballer, but as a person. Where you are now in life, is it something you could have predicted on the hard days, the dark days? Could you have imagined you get back to a point where you're just content and happy with yourself? And are there still days where that goes away?
Oh, yeah. Look, I still have dark days, and I think I always will. It's just how you deal with it. And the fact that I'm more older and mature, I think that is much better. And look, it'll never go away. That's why I think, anyway, I still have the dark days, and I didn't take that break. I probably wouldn't be here today. So I think that's a kind of positive thing to take from it as well. And especially anyone else that is suffering, there is brighter days ahead.
Have you found much solace in, I know you kind of, the path back to League of Ireland, when you did walk away the first time, it looked like it wasn't something that was making you happy. It wasn't something that was allowing you to get through a difficult time in your personal life. Now that you're back playing, does it feel like the pressure or the constraints that may be added to depression the first time, have they gone away, or are they just easier to manage with maturity now?
I think it's just easier to manage with maturity. I think that's it. I think when I go back to Sligo, I think it was, if I don't do it now, I'll probably regret it. Because if it was for half the season, if it went well, it went well. If it didn't, it didn't. And if I didn't enjoy it, I knew that at least I gave it that another go, and I can just leave that in the past and just kind of concentrate on my job and just playing local football and hurling and all that stuff. So, look, I'm delighted that I did do it, and look, hopefully that will continue and for many years to come.
You're still only 25. Are you 26? When are you 26?
Next year.
26 next year. I mean, from a football point of view, you have years left. What are the goals? Is qualifying for Europe this season, is that the top of your agenda? Is that why a club like Pat's attracts you? The chance of that squad and the ability they have finishing in a European place?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I mean. That's why that is our aim, is to finish Europe. And look, if we're in the title run after July, and then we take it game by game, but it is for Europe, and that's the name for us, especially to get a club like Pat's back into Europe, and hopefully we can do well and hopefully we can push on, and that's going to be our aim. And look, for me, it's just going to be keep scoring goals and hopefully keep winning games, and then hopefully then we'll see from there.
I mean, you've experienced the Pat's Rovers rivalry on the Rovers side of town. How excited are you to experience it as a Pats player? And how big is this rivalry? I mean, people talk about the Dublin Derby being Rovers and Bows, but Pats and Rovers would be tasty enough too.
Oh, it is, yeah. I remember playing it when I was a Rover. It was always a good atmosphere. And especially in Richmond, the stadium's so compact, and you hear all the atmosphere, and it's great. And that, as players, that lift us to give that extra 10% that we need to get us through that game to win us that game. And look, I'm really looking forward to it, and I just hope we can get the win.
Decent enough start for Rovers as well. They're top of the table on goal difference, got a win over Finn Harps at the start of the week. How do you assess them? What have you made of them from what you've seen, what little you might have seen?
Yeah, they were good. Yeah, went and watched them play against Finn Harps, and look, they're a good side. And look, I think it's good that there is so many kind of good teams there now, that every game is going to be so important, that like you're preparing right, you're eating, you're sleeping right. Every game is make sure that you're in your top condition to give yourself the best chance and your team, and to get the win. Like, and I think when we do play those big games, I think it is a one-off. I think it's when you want to beat the teams that are probably in and around you and lower. Like, that's how you do win leagues, as you see. That's what happened with Dundalk. Like, there always is kind of one-off games and all that stuff to happen. But look, I'm just looking forward to it, and hopefully we get the win.
Mikey, you've been really good with your time, and I really appreciate it. Just one more question before we let you finish up, before we let you go. I mean, unfortunately, the situation we're in as a country, there's probably going to be more than one person, maybe a couple of people listening to this podcast, who might be in a bad place, who mightn't be happy with their life, who mightn't have a whole lot of self-worth at the moment, who maybe have been in a position similar to where you were a couple of years ago. For that one person listening who might have a horrible sinking feeling of hopelessness or might feel like it's not going to get better, would you have anything to say to them? Would you have any advice for them?
I suppose one thing is, like, there is brighter days. You might not think it. You might just think that you're always in that dark place, but there is brighter days. You need to go and talk to someone, like, and have that click and bond with someone that you can actually open up to, someone, not someone that you will hide kind of a few things. You'll keep some of them in, you won't tell them everything. The thing is to get the right click with someone, and it's just to get out and stop kind of sitting in, sulking and all that stuff. You need to get out and kind of enjoy life, and it's just the little things that matter. It's going for walks, going for a cup of coffee with a friend, little things that you probably like, oh, I don't want to do it, but it's getting that in that mindset, say, no, get out and do it. Just get out. That's the only thing I would say, is just get out and do little things that you don't want to do, but there's something that will just try and make you that little bit kind of happy and kind of a relief, kind of get that little bit of weight lift off your shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with a small gesture, a text, a phone call, a WhatsApp, a Facebook message. That's all it will take to get on a road where you might start to feel better. Just one small step, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I know it's easier said than done. People said, just pick up a phone to anyone and talk to them. It's much easier said than done. Like, it is so important that just that one friend, like, you might think, I don't want to say it to him again. He's probably thinking, what's going on? I want to talk to him, and probably saying, will you stop? It's not like any little difference. Like, you can see, like, there's just so much mental health and suicide that is, in the last year, like, that's come for me, like from kind of personal to me as well of what happened. It's not a good place of where you leave people. And look, there is brighter days, and I just hope people do see that.
Mikey, thanks so much for talking to me. I really appreciate you speaking so honestly and so openly, and I wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much.
Mikey, you're a gentleman. That was great. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Yeah, that's St. Pat's Mikey Drennan speaking to Darren. Darren, another point I want to make on the Premier League, the Daily Mount Park timeline.
You've done it again.
The Premier League.
Yes.
The Premier Division.
You've done it again.
Sorry. So a tweet from a councillor, Seamus McGrahan, seems to put the Daily Mount timeline back another year. It says the project completion date will be October 2022 to October 2023, which would suggest to me that there'd be no games there in the league until the 2024 season, and they were due to be there for the start of the 2023 season. But then someone else tweeted me back to say that, well, if it's half completed or one stand is finished, they'll play there. But it's going to be a while before this new Daily Mount's actually ready, longer than I actually thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it was initially mooted, the hope would be that it would be a legacy project stemming out of Ireland part hosting the European Championships. But it seems like that's not going to actually happen now. There seemed to be a belief that maybe some of the funds could have been made available via what UEFA would pay, because Ireland would be a host city or part of the hosting for the upcoming European Championships. It's been delayed and pushed back a little bit. It's been a much slower process than we all would have imagined and envisioned. I don't think that any clubs should move into any half-built grounds.
I agree.
I think they should get the job done, and then when it is finished, because what you'll have then is one club will lose out drastically, because the idea here was that there would be two stands. One of them would effectively be the logistical operation that is Bose, and one of them would be the logistical operation that is Shells, and would be the offices and the management of the two different clubs. I don't think you can have that. I think it's a conflict to have that in too close proximity. So the idea that the clubs could move in with it half completed, I don't think is a runner. I don't think we should even consider it. I think at this stage of the juncture, you should try and get it finished. It's already beyond delayed. I don't think we'll see it before 2025, 2026, to be personally honest. If I'm very, very honest, I don't think we'll ever see it.
Okay, interesting. I think we will see it. I do agree that it probably will be delayed, but I do think that both Bows and Shells need to spend some money in the interim period on their current grounds. I'm not talking about thousands and thousands and thousands. And like simple things the Bows have done is on the far side, the stand that's closed down, they've got some graffiti artists to paint the Bows sign, and you know, they've painted the home of Irish football again in the black and red colours and whatever. But like the old seats there look terrible. They should rip them all down and just put a massive big mural or a flag or something. And the same in Talca on the far side or behind the goal that's never used anymore. Just maybe a small spend, maybe get in, you know, local people who want to do some community work and you know, try and just improve the aesthetic look of the place and the toilets and stuff. Because if they're going to be there for another, like in their two stadiums, another 2 or 3 years, and then they're both going to share Talca for at least 2 years or more, and then they're back to New Daily Mount, I think it's worth trying to improve them in some sense that they look a bit nicer and they are a bit nicer for people. But is it wasted money?
It is. Yeah, I think it is. I really think when you're going to level it in a couple of years anyway, I think the idea that you'd put some money into it, when it's not like either club are particularly flush with cash at the moment, I think it would be a waste of money. I think they have made very small improvements to the aesthetic. Bows probably do the best match night experience in Dublin of the Dublin clubs.
Yeah.
Any Bows fans I know really enjoy going to it, and I've met one or two people who have become Bows fans out of the fact of being told by other people this is a great night out. It's not just a great football team, it's not just a great club to be a part of, it's a really enjoyable night out in the city. Credit as well where it's due, Rovers have their new suite, they're trying to do a post-match kind of entertainment, and like they've got past players in now doing talks after the game, and they've really come on in what they've done in their what we're calling the match night experience now. Shell's a long way to go to catch up. Pats probably have a bit of the way to go to catch up too, but it's good to see that two clubs are really setting the standards in Rovers and Bows with the way that they do their match nights. I thought the atmosphere from Talla the last night, the first night they opened their new stand, was incredible.
Yeah,
they packed it in, they made a really, really cool display. It seemed electric. It added so much to the occasion. They're doing really good work. And you have to give Shells a good bit of credit as well. Their first league game of the season against Cabin Teely, they brought 1,000 people to a first division game, which is not easy to do.
Correct. Just on the Rovers thing, the new stand behind the goal is great, but the stand that the fans used to be in, the far side, is now like totally empty, bar the away fans. And particularly from the view of the press box, like I put up a video last night of the teams walking out just
looks
on my
empty.
Twitter, and it looks empty.
Yeah.
So it's something just to think about a little bit. Anyway, fixtures this weekend in the Premier Division. We've got a Bows against Derry on Friday, 7:45, Dundalk hosting Waterford. Pats against Rovers, what a game. We spoke to Mikey Drennan earlier on about that. And Finn Harps, Cork City, one game on Saturday. It's Sligo Rovers against UCD. We had the EA Sports Cup taking place as well on Monday night. Four games took place on Monday, should I say, did they? Yes. Galway beat Athlone after extra time. Bray beat Wexford 3-2. They finished draw to nil. Cabin Teely won, and Shells beat Bluebell 1-0. There's two games on Tuesday. We're recording on Tuesday morning. Cove and Limerick and Longford Town against Cockhill Celtic. Now, our first division focus in a moment. We'll hear from Ian Morris and Pat Devlin from Shelburne and Cabin Teely. But first, it's all things Bray Wanderers.
The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.
Niall O'Driscoll, welcome back to the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. Niall, how are you?
Not bad, Jamie. Good morning to you. That was good to talk to you.
Yes, thanks for having a chat, Niall. Now, before we speak about this new role for Pádraig, who we're going to speak to in a few minutes' time, the last time we spoke to you on the podcast was around the time when you actually secured control of the club back in July, and we're almost, I suppose, we're 9 months into your role now as the club's owner. How would you reflect on how things have gone? Because it's definitely a much more positive feel to the club overall.
Well, I think you asked me the question when we got in day one, what did we know about running a National League football club? And I think the answer I said to you was nothing. But we'd learn very quickly and see how it goes. So the last couple of months has really just been tidying up and trying to put in the infrastructure to try and build a football club.
that's basically it. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's aware, you know, we've cleaned it out the best we can. You know, we've started to build a squad that we hope will achieve something and sort of get everybody involved in the club. And that's really where we're at the moment. Obviously, we've done a lot of work over the break and we're up and running now for the 2019 season.
Yeah, let's talk about the stuff on the pitch first, Niall. And when you came in, the club were in real trouble at the bottom of the Premier Division. Unfortunately, when Gary Cronin came in and it wasn't his squad, he was unable to save the club from relegation, and you did finish bottom of the table. What were your first priorities once you discovered that the club were going down?
Well, I think there's two things in that. One is we probably got a bit of criticism in terms of the manager. A lot of people expect us to employ sort of an established manager to do all of this. We took a very long-term view, as you know, and we wanted a young, talented manager and give him time to go build a club. So whilst, yeah, we were all disappointed to be relegated, you know, sometimes you have to step back in order to go forward, you know, and that's sort of the view we took. And certainly now Gary's assembled his own squad with a mix of experience and young players, and they're starting to show sort of progress week on week, which is great.
Yeah, and things this season have started really well. A win last night in the EA Sports Cup against Wexford, a 3-2 victory, and two wins from two in the league, two clean sheets and five goals scored as well. So you've got to be happy with the start to the new campaign.
Ah, yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, football is very fickle. We all know that the difference between winning and losing is the swing of a foot, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, they've done well. And last night was great, particularly because we were able to get a lot of the fringe players on the pitch, get game time. Like Huey Douglas returned last night, which was a big plus, particularly from the injury he had last year. We've young Andy McGovern back playing now. So these are all pluses that have come out of the last sort of week or so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and fantastic to see big Huey Douglas with the captain's armband on last night as well. I spoke to him in the round the time when the injury first happened, and it's really good to see him back at the club and back on the pitch as well. And Niall, over 1,000 at the league win over Limerick, and over, I think, just over 400 there at the EA Sports Cup game last night as well. So I know you know involvement with Ardmore Rovers in that first league game as well, and getting more people in the gates of the Carlisle grounds and making it a place that people want to go and watch football again.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. This is about, you know, inclusion. You know, it's about getting everybody to come to Friday night football or Monday night football as well as last night. And it's really about, you know, getting kids, you know, people know my background. I have very strong views in, you know, kids will bring parents to games. And I think long term that builds. You know, we now have 15 kids who bang drums at every single game. You know, there's a bit of an atmosphere, and there's more kids coming, and they're dragging parents. And yeah, we were caught a little bit in the hop with the attendance on the opening home game, which was over 1,000, which was super. And like for an EA game last night of 425 or whatever it was, again was super, you know. And this is through the local clubs, don't get me wrong. This is through the local clubs. It's through engaging with different groups out there and just trying to get people to come to games.
And Niall, in terms of the ground itself, what have you guys done to it to make the place itself a nicer place for people to go to watch football?
Well, you know, the Carlisle grounds is the Carlisle grounds, and all we've done is tidy it up, clean it up the best we can. Like, we are limited on resources on that one. Like, it would be lovely to have a pot of money and put in all the state-of-the-art facilities, but we are where we are. You know, it has a fabulous tradition. It's clean now. You know, you have nice clean toilets, you can get a nice cup of coffee, you can get a bit of food. You know, you won't get pissed on when it's raining now because the stand is all perfect and stuff like that. So it's really about trying to make the match day experience, you know, competitive us to the alternatives that exist out there for everybody, you know, and that's really all we can do in the current climate, you know what I mean. And we'll review that at the end of the season and see how it goes, and we've applied for a few sports capital grants and things like that. So, you know, if we get a few bob there, well, we can keep chipping away and improving as it goes.
Yeah, and if that few bob does come, now there were reports about the possibility of turning the pitch into an AstroTurf. Is that something you're considering?
Yeah, it's something we looked at. You know, personally I prefer grass, that's just a personal view, but the logistics of all weathers now means the facilities open 365 days a year, and you know, as opposed to 30 or 40 days, and you know, the cost of maintenance and the savings on all weather hire and for underage academy teams and stuff are substantial. So from a financial point of view, it makes massive sense, you know, and that's something we look at. Now it's early, it's only a thought process at this stage, but I think, you know, if it's the right decision to make, we'll make it quite quickly.
So effectively that means as well that your 13s and 19s can all train there, play there, your first team can train there and play there, and it means that the stadium is the home of all of the club's teams.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, but more importantly than that, it means Bray have an all-weather pitch for the use of all their community clubs, for schools and everything, which doesn't exist at the moment. And that's even a bigger issue.
You know what I mean? There's nothing in Bray or the surrounding areas. You know, there's no FIFA standard pitch available for the Ardmore Rovers, the local clubs, all of these. And so it's available to all of those as well. Because you're quite right, the academy teams and the first team, they'll only be using it for so much, you know what I mean? There's a lot of free space there, and we get back with club finals and we get all this sort of stuff. So all that is on the cards then, which I think, you know, helps us attract people into the ground.
And Noel, do you have a timeline as to when that might happen?
Well, the timelines are key on this. You know, it can't happen until the last game this season. So, you know, will we be ready to do it by then? If, you know, so there are key dates. You know, we'd love to say that we could start it on that day and have it ready for pre-season next year. You know, that would be, if you're going to do it, the right time to do it. But there's a lot of hurdles to be jumped before that one can happen, to be honest. You know what I mean? But the people have been very good. We've had great support from the council, great support from the local community, which is super. You know what I mean?
No, just the last one on the Carlisle before we speak about the new role for Pádraig as well. And had this debate on the podcast last week and just about the night the clubs play on. And I know before your time as the Bray owner and chairman, the club tried to play on Saturdays for a year and went back to Fridays again. And like, I'm working in the media and I mainly have to cover a Premier game every week because it's the Premier League, right? And on the year that Bray played on the Saturday, I was at every single Bray home game because I wanted to go and see other games as well. What's your thoughts on just other clubs, particularly in the First Division and clubs around Dublin, the likes of Shells or Bray or whoever, trying, you know, a night that's not a Friday where it's not a direct clash with the other Premier clubs around the area?
Yeah, well, you're right. It's about choices for the people who want to watch games. The problem I think most clubs have is that there's such a volunteer aspect to all of these clubs. And it's funny, last night we ran a game on Monday, and a lot of people who were helping us normally on a Friday, you know, they're married, they have kids, and they have school runs and everything on a Monday night. We actually struggled a bit last night. It was the first time, actually, it was quite noticeable. So I think the resource the clubs have, particularly if they're in the volunteer space, Friday night is an obvious one. Because Saturday, you know, they have their family dues and their family commitments or whatever, and it's just harder to get volunteers. And it also clashes with people who are involved in local football and running teams and doing all of that. So you're right, it is an interesting one. You know, I don't know if it's one that we're going to solve, but all we can do is sort of, Fridays probably suits best for us in terms of the volunteers and the people who help us. You know, we have looked, I think we have a couple of games this year on Saturday. I think we'll be gaming against Shells in June. And we look at the dynamic of that and sort of make a call as we move. But, yeah, right, it is a good discussion. And from your perspective, as from the press and the publicity, it would make sense to sort of have more games scattered over more nights or days. And I think that would probably help the profile of the whole game, which really, in fairness, at the moment, I think this year particularly, seems to have taken a big jump, which is good.
Yeah, it is indeed. And I think as well, like particularly in the summer, I remember last season Cabinteely had to play a couple of games on Saturdays because of clashes with rugby and stuff in Stradbroke. And like a Saturday evening in the sunshine in Stradbroke, sitting on the bleachers over there, and I'm sure the same in the Carlisle, it was a nice place to watch football, and you know, for people and for families as well. It's just something I think clubs might have a look at and just see, but listen, if Bows are playing Rovers on a Friday and we're playing in the Dublin area, why not try it on a different night, particularly in the summer or an afternoon, Saturday or Sunday, and just see how it goes.
Yeah, and I also think it depends on the type of supporter base you have. Like, you know, Bray is all about the family and young kids and stuff, and we've actually looked at Sunday afternoons being a key.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, a lot of families get together, they go out for the day out. So you're right. We look at it and see how it goes. And Bray does have the attraction that, you know, a Sunday game is great and you're on the seaside and you have the amusements. And you have, so it does have a different dynamic than a lot of the other clubs, you know what I mean? And that's something we'll just, you know, I suppose this year really is about learning for us and sort of tweaking as we go, you know what I mean?
Now, lastly, Bray Wanderers unveiled its Access for All inclusion programme last week, and we're going to speak to Pádraig Moore on your Disability Access Officer in just a second. Just explain to us where this idea has come from. I know it's being pushed by the FAI as well, and you had John Delaney down with you last week in one of the local schools to launch this programme.
Yeah, well, I must say, I wasn't hugely aware of sort of all the work they do to UEFA and FIFA levels at sort of the Disability for All. This really came from our view is that we want to make Bray accessible for everybody. And we're very lucky to have the likes of Pádraig involved in the club. And Pádraig came to us a while ago, sort of asked us, can we improve facilities, can we do certain things? And I said, well, fair enough, Pádraig, off you go. So if you want to change things, you know, no better man than Pádraig to do it. And, you know, he was delighted to accept the position, and we were delighted to support it. And it sort of has taken legs from there. And Pádraig, you know, is behind the whole launch. He was the whole, and getting John there and the school involved. I give him huge credit on this one. You know, we were just sort of rowing in behind him, giving whatever support he needs. And our view is very simple. You know, everyone should be able to come down to Bray Wanderers and watch a game, irrespective of colour, race, disability, whatever it may be. And why not?
Yeah, the last part of your quote on the website and all is really interesting and really nice. It says, this will empower disabled people to take their rightful place in the world of football, be it as spectators, volunteers, players, coaches, administrators, leaders or decision makers. And we're going to speak to Pádraig in a moment as well. And he's making the same point that anybody who wants to come to the Carlisle grounds, whether it be man, woman, child, disabled person, foreign person, whoever they might be, their first ever match in the League of Ireland, that they can go and they can be welcome there and they can feel safe there and accepted there and also comfortable to watch a game.
Well, if you actually think of what you've just said there, I would sum it up that every person in this country, world, is entitled to the same benefits as everybody else. And why should we not be there for that?
Yeah, and in terms of the role you've been able to create for Pádraig as well, and I know the FAI have been involved, and like, is this a full-time role for him, and is this being part-funded by guys?
Well, in fairness, it probably is. It's a full-time volunteer role.
I understand,
you know?
Yeah.
I think Bray is all about the volunteers, and we all think it's all part-time, whatever, but I think that evolves into the full-time. But yeah, no, Pádraig has his own jobs, and he's involved in the Sports Council, he's involved in East Coast Radio, he's involved in a whole load of things, and you know, just because of a disability, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, you suppress an absolutely intelligent mind on the drive by somebody who has it. Absolutely not. Like, you know, he could probably teach a few of us what to do, to be honest with you, you know. And but a great character and demanding of equality, and you have to admire the man for that.
Yes, indeed. Niall, finally, you mentioned about it being a part-time, full-time volunteer role for Pádraig as well. From your own point of view, 9 months into your job now as the Bray owner and chairman and, you know, a main man behind what the club is doing, also owning your own O'Driscoll O'Neill Insurance Company and involved in St Joseph's Boys, how is your life now that you have a League of Ireland football club to run as well as the other stuff?
A little bit difficult. Still learning to delegate, which is difficult at times, you know. But in fairness, there's some great people behind. And I think, you know, it's just a matter of delegating it out. And, you know, but it's important to get the structures right. And that does take a bit of time. But yeah, is it taking more time? Absolutely it is. Is it good fun? I hope it will be. You know, it's hard work at the moment. But hopefully we'll see the rewards sort of over the season and in the long term. But it's certainly like the linkage between Joey's, the local clubs, Bray. There's a lot of synergy and sharing of resources, which when you look back in the structures of football in Ireland, it makes a lot of sense to have these type of, you know, player pathways. And I'm not talking about player pathways, but more club pathways, you know, sharing of volunteer resources. Like, it does make sense for clubs to have, you know, four financial controllers when one can combine, you know. And I think that will be the challenge to a lot of clubs going forward.
You have to be proud, Niall, of what you've achieved in such a short period, though.
Yeah, but remember, it's the club belongs to Bray. You know, I'm only the minder for a couple of years, and I, you know, one thing is certain, we all come into the world one way and go out the same way. So, you know, when we're here, we mind and we leave it on for the next generation. It's no different than I was in Joey's, and there was the Brendan Harmers and Valder McCabe's, and I stepped in, and there will be another generation going through there. And Bray is exactly the same. You know, I just hope Bray gets the football club it deserves.
Great stuff, Niall O'Driscoll. Thanks a million.
And it's always a pleasure. Keep the faith.
Yeah, great stuff there from the Bray Wanderers chairman, Niall O'Driscoll. Now, from Niall to the man who is the new Bray Disability Access Officer and a man who's been around Bray Wanderers for years and years and years as a fan and as a journalist covering games for the radio for East Coast FM. I'm very happy to welcome Pádraig Moran to the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast for the first time. Pádraig, thanks for having a chat. Now, before we speak about your new job, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your involvement in the club as well.
Yeah, so Jamie, I've been around the League of Ireland a long, long time, and thanks for having me. I started supporting Bray in 1990, the same as Cup Final on Lansdowne Road, where John Ryan scored that infamous hat-trick. So the club is part of my family, it's part of my life. So delighted to be involved with them in this way. As you say, I'm an athlete, I'm a two-time Paralympian. I'm a world champion in the sport of boccia. I have cerebral palsy, which affects my muscle coordination and balance, so that's my condition. I also play para wheelchair soccer for DCU as well.
So Pádraig, just explain to me exactly what this job actually is as the Disability Access Officer for Bray Wanderers. It was launched last week in conjunction with the FAI, and the owner Niall O'Driscoll was there at a school locally, and the FAI chief executive John Delaney as well. And it's the first club to kind of make this official appointment and really give us an insight into what you guys are going to do. So just explain to us how you got the job and exactly what it's going to look like and entail.
I'm delighted to get the role. I started this back last August, and when I got my training from Oisín Jordan and John McGuinness in the FAI, I came back to Niall and he said, right, off you go, tell me what you want. So I audited the Carlow grounds. I looked at what we needed to do. So one of the first things I identified was to improve the wheelchair area and enclose it, because obviously, you know yourself, Jamie, on a winter's night down in Bray, if that wind is blown in, you're going to get wet. So we're enclosing the wheelchair area. We're in the middle of doing that. We're sorting out the accessible toilet. That needed a bit of work done on it. We're doing that as well. And it's a very, very simple thing, I guess. We're providing blankets for people with additional needs. So be that if they're in a wheelchair and they're cold, we have blankets to, you know, look after them. In terms of the other aspect of my role, I'm delighted that I'm going to be going in schools in County Wicklow to roll out the accessibility programme, because obviously some additional needs are visible, or invisible rather. So I'm delighted that I'm going to go out to schools. If I could pick my favourite job, this would be it. I've done stuff like this before with an inclusive sports programme, so this part of the job I absolutely love. Now, one of the coolest things we're doing is we're giving everyone in County Wicklow with additional needs a free season ticket, just purely to get them into the League of Ireland, because disabled people are one of the world's largest minority groups, and access to sport and facilities isn't great. So if we can do that and we can get people into the ground and with additional needs where there is no access, there is no barriers, that's what I want my role to be about.
And Pádraic, Bray Wanderers are the first club to make this appointment, as I mentioned. How does that feel for you, given you've been around the club for so long, and you mentioned yourself about, you know, the sports that you've played across your life and the difference that has made for you as a person with cerebral palsy, and as well about some of the invisible disabilities that some people have, and you want to welcome them all to Bray Wanderers, to the Cardall grounds, and you'll be a centrepiece of that now.
So again, to be the first club to do this, it's massive. The other clubs are going to have to follow us now, and I think for me to have the CEO of the FAI, John Delaney, come out to our launch in Marino School last week was massive. He's been very supportive to me over the years in terms of making my job in the Aviva Stadium a bit easier as well. So to have him there was massive as well. But to be the first to launch us, that's really special, because now it's going to make the other clubs follow us and look at their grounds and see what they can do. What we've done is very, very simple, but those changes will make a big difference. In terms of the club, it's just positive energy. It's positive PR, you know. It's going to be saying to people with additional needs, we can go there. There is no difference. There is no barriers. We're equal. And that's what I want to do. I don't want any barriers in the Carlow ground or within Bray Wanderers that someone will say, I can't go watch them. I want everyone to say, that ground is brilliant, because Bray don't have barriers. So if I can achieve that, that's my role.
Pádraic, lastly, the club in recent years, you know, we have to say, hasn't had a good rep, hasn't had a good news line to it really at all in terms of what's gone on previously, and that's totally gone now. And we've just spoken to Niall since they've taken over in the middle of last year. The club has transformed totally on the pitch, off the pitch, etc. Appointments like yours are a great example of that, more involvement in the community and stuff as well. Where do you see the club now and where it can go to? Because there's a real positive vibe around it at the moment, for sure.
Just in terms of where we're going, the club at the moment is amazing. I don't like going back into the past, because I can't change it. Since Niall and Tim have come in, it's a different club. The ethos is different. He's got the club to engage. He's got the community to engage. It's just, Bray is a family club again. It's somewhere you want to go. I was down there last Sunday, Sunday week before the season started, at the cleanup, just chatting to people. And that's amazing, because that didn't happen for the last couple of years. So it's all good. It's all positive. We've got a great chairman in Niall. You know, we couldn't ask for a better custodian of the club. 1,000 people at the game in Limerick on Friday night, 427 at a League Cup game on a Monday night is massive. And I think a stat that I realised last night, that attendance of 427, that was last season, that took us four league games to get to 427 for some games. So you just look at the turnaround there. He's doing all the right things and everyone just loves to be back involved.
Pádraic Moran, thanks very much for having a chat and the best of luck for the rest of the season and in your new role as the Disability Access Officer with Bray Wanderers. Thanks, Pádraic.
Off the Ball's League of Ireland podcast, brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now, Darren, our first division chat here. You were at Tolga Park last Friday and a thriller. Shelburne beaten 3-2 by Cabinteely in a kind of surprise result, but when you were at the game, maybe not such a surprise result.
Certainly after the first 40 minutes, you would say it was a surprise result because Shell scored early on. They controlled the ball. Some really neat little passages of play. Good one-touch passing and moving. They've come on an awful lot, even from where they were last season. That happens with the influx of players they've got. They've got some real quality talent there. And for a while, it actually looked like a case of not just Shelburne winning the game, but by how many. They created a load of half chances, and it just wasn't to be. Dean Delaney's had a bit of a rough couple of games. Distribution was quite poor by his standards. The last day at Tolka, he was badly cut out for two goals down in Galway too. That probably hampered Shells. And saying that, he made a great save in the first half as well to keep the game 1-0. They got a goal just before half time. It was a penalty. Couldn't see from where I was whether or not it was a penalty. It just looked like two Shells players kind of cut across them. You see them give them, but at the same time, sometimes referees wave play on. Shells just went a little bit too much in search of that second goal. And they just got caught twice on the counter-attack. They were really poor goals to give away, to be fair. One of them came from a terrible Shells free kick, maybe 30 yards out. And it's Prendergast who hits it. He just boots it over the line. Like, it's really soft goal to cough up. And the other was just a bad clearance. Luke Byrne heads it away and drops Kieran Marty Waters. No one goes near him and he just has space to gobble up and fire it into the net. Again, I don't think Dean Delaney would be too happy looking at the goal he conceded. It was relatively cheap. But they got one back to make it 3-2, and 3-2 probably flatter Shells in the end.
Yes, and afterwards, Darren spoke to both managers in a moment, the Cabo boss and director of football, Pat Devlin. But first to Shells head coach, Ian Morris.
Ian, how'd you assess that?
Disappointing. Full credit to Cabinteely. They came, they stuck to what they're good at, and they walk away 3 points, and deservedly so.
The manner of the goals must be pretty disappointing, considering they came from very little in terms of counter-attacking football.
Yeah, very disappointing. Look, we had numerous chances to clear the ball and to clear our lines, and we never took them, and we paid the ultimate price tonight on three occasions, which isn't good enough. But look, we'll brush ourselves down with a big game on Monday night in the Cup, so we'll start focusing on that and preparing properly tomorrow morning.
I mean, it looked like at a stage it would be a case of Shells, but by how many? Because after the first goal went in, it was a relentless maybe 10-12 minute spell of pressure. The equalising goal comes just before the break. How deflating is that when you're winning 1-0, you're relatively in control of the game, and then you cough up a penalty to go 1-1?
Yeah, the timing of the penalty was poor, but look, we created enough chances tonight to win the game, and we weren't clinical enough in front of goal, and Cabinteely created a couple of chances and they managed to score our three goals. So very disappointing, but look, they came, they played to their strengths and it paid off for them, so full credit to them.
Didn't have the best vantage point of the penalty that you gave away, but from the players you talked to, was it a penalty, did you feel?
I don't know. I didn't go into that. Look, the penalty's a penalty. You get them, you don't get them. You just got to brush yourselves down. Nothing you can do about it. Timing was poor, but like you said, we were fully in control of the game at that stage, and we thought we could have been more up. But look, these things happen. We'll continue to do what we've been practicing, and hopefully things will start to turn for us.
I mean, attacking wise, you must be pleased with the amount of chances you created. Defensively, the goals you gave were pretty cheap. Are you disappointed with the manner, particularly of goals 2 and 3?
Yeah, I've already said that. It's poor. We've had multiple chances to clear the ball, haven't done it, and we paid the price. And look, we created enough chances to win the game, even if they did score the three goals. But look, they were good, full value for the money, and it's just disappointing from our point of view, the goals we conceded and the chances we didn't put away.
How do you deal with the pressure of everyone thinking Shelburne will win the league?
Look, that doesn't bother me. We've got a good enough squad that we should be up there challenging. But look, as people kept saying before the start, everyone's put together good squads and everyone has their strengths, and on the night anyone can beat anyone, and that's happened tonight.
What would you like to see more of from your team?
Goals and wins.
goals and wins.
Less goals conceded.
Ian Morris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pat, you must be very pleased with the manner your team responded, going a goal down and being under the cosh for a lot of the first half.
Well, I actually would have seen that different. I felt, you know, when they scored, we were having our best period. After that, like, I mean, when they scored, it was a terrible mistake from our point of view. Without sort of blaming any one individual, but it was a bad mistake. It was a good build up from them, but it was a bad mistake. Most, and then the set piece, the corner, shocking, you know. But after that, I thought we held our own and done very well. I thought we managed the first half much, much better. And then we got the equaliser that we fully deserved. And I just went in at half time and said, look, start upping the ante a little bit. I knew Shaz would come out fighting, and they really did. And they dominated periods of the game. And we caught them lovely, 2 goals, 3-1. And still Shells came back again and got back into it. And, you know, they would consider themselves a little bit unlucky not to get a draw out of it. And we consider ourselves maybe a little bit fortunate to get the win. But, you know, in this day and age, you have to make your own luck. Last week, we had no luck. Tonight, we had a little bit of luck. And as I said to the lads, you have to make your own luck. But the pleasing thing from my point of view is that we responded very well from being one down. Last week, when we went one down, the heads dropped slightly. So, great. Great to get 3 points.
Yeah, 2 brilliant examples of counter-attacking football and the energy to get it. I mean, when you get the second goal, it comes from a Prendergast free that just goes nowhere. He hits it out over the line, and within seconds, you have it in the Shells net. Really, really positive counter-attacking stuff from your side tonight.
Yeah, and it put them back on the back foot a little bit, you know. So, it was pleasing for us. I thought when 3-1, there'd be no more scoring. They got back very quick. They got in behind us. They played good football, Shells, in fairness. But look, I just, as I said, you get your bit of luck, you have to earn it, and we earned it tonight, and we'll take it.
They have a lot of experienced players in their team. Defensively, you must be very happy with how you cope with the amount of chances they created without really penetrating or cutting you guys open on too many occasions.
Don't forget now, we lost Connor. Connor's a big asset to us, and we lost him.
And he was brilliant just before he went off.
And we lost him early in the second half, and then we brought on another 18-year-old. So, you know, I'm really happy, and like, we had 2 17-year-olds in the middle of the park and an 18-year-old in the centre midfield. So right back was 18. So really, really happy, you know, because we're not in a position like Shells, or we don't have the tradition of having, you know, the finance to go out and bring in players. So I think Shells look good, and I wouldn't be dismissing them at all. I think they'll have a great season. And I'm just pleased for us tonight that we got the 3 points.
Yeah, and how much do you take from a game like this, particularly after the start of the season where scoreline-wise it didn't look good? It looked like you could have had your heads down tonight, but it wasn't the case. You came out and played with a lot of confidence.
We played with confidence, and we will continue to play that way. I mean, we still go out and try and play attacking football. You know, coming to Talk is great. It's a fantastic stadium, a lot of history. But like I said, there are some great players here played before, so you're getting an opportunity. A couple of them made their debut here tonight, so I said enjoy it and enjoy the occasion, and no matter what happens, just do your best, and that's what they did.
And what's the sum of the parts of this team? Are you going to put a goal on what you want to do this season? What do you want to get from Cavantini? Where do you want to be at the end of the season?
Well, you know, out of the starting line today, we had 5 that would have been starting injured. And sorry, we got 1 back, Jack Watson, tonight. But I just think we have a nice group of players. We've got to keep working with them. We've got to keep encouraging to play. And we've got to do the right things with them. We're not sort of under the pressure that other clubs will be under to get promoted, kind of like that. And really, we have to let this journey take us to wherever it's going to take us, and we really have to enjoy it. And I think that's really what we're going to try and do. Last year we sort of pushed it a little bit, and we failed miserably. We underachieved. I don't want that to happen this year. I want to be a little bit more consistent. If that was, you know, if I wanted to achieve that, and that's what it would be.
Would you prefer to be in your position where you're exceeding expectations and that's your plan for the season, or Ian Morris where everyone's telling them the Shells are going to win the league?
No, I think Ian's one of the bright young managers. He's got an opportunity. It's a fantastic club to manage. He's got a great group of players, and I think it'll all come together at the most important. This is only the second game of the season, and I think sometimes pressure is put on people, whether it's to win the league or whether it's being relegated, and journalists in particular, you know, make their own judgments, and sometimes it's pretty premature. I think Shells will be there and thereabouts, there's no doubt.
Now, the First Division fixtures this weekend, there's 5 games in total, 4 on Friday, 1 on Saturday. All Friday games, 7:45 kickoff sits Athlone against Shells in Athlone Town Stadium. Cavantini, Longford, Galway against Bray, probably the game in a round, and Limerick hosting Drogheda. 1 game on Saturday at 7 o'clock. Hopefully a bigger crowd in Cove. There was only a couple of 100 people at their opening game. It's Cove against Wexford. I can't imagine the attendance there will be too good. Darren Cleary, thank you, sir.
Cheers, Jamie.
That's it for the latest episode of the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. More in the podcast section of offtheball.com. And we'll be back with you next Wednesday.
Off the Ball's League of Ireland podcast. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.